Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Brian Rails, a.k.a. B-Train. Who the fuck else? And I've caught wind of a lot of things going on in professional wrestling via my Facebook newsfeed. A lot of good things going on. A lot of, okay, cool. This dude has a new career kind of thing. Ring of Honor type things, such as the triple threat match between Dalton Castle, Cody Rhodes, and Marty Scurll. A lot of stuff to report, but I'm going to start right off at the top of my list, which is life after wrestling. That is to be discussed later on in the show, so let me fast forward into the next subject. Enzo's new song. Big God. I watched it. It spoke a lot about his former career in wrestling. It spoke about how the fans abandoned him. This, that, the other. Look, guys. Enzo Amore spoke about his accuser and how she consented, and he kept repeating it in the chorus. And some people will always refer to Enzo as the nutcase that rambled on through promos in WWE, that was a jackass in the back, and let's just call it like it is. Enzo has a new career. Okay, so now everyone's following him because he got so much attention, negative, positive. How are you going to dispute what he does? I mean, I'm not going to be surprised, folks, if I see him at WrestleCon just to make a few extra dollars, you know, take a picture with the kids, you know. I don't even know what his agenda is, and I honestly, at this point, when you touch base with making fun of a fan in the very first frame, catches my attention, and I honestly want to say this from the bottom of my heart, if you will. I don't care what that little pipsqueak is doing. You can care. No one should care. I can't tell you how to feel. I can just tell you, from what I've seen in the music video where he's pulling out that coffin and he's got some kind of vehicle pulling it onto the beach and burying it and spray painting on the front of the coffin dead and whatever else he spray painted on it. What is the message that he tries to send? Because some people really need to get this through their head. If you pay attention to what others are doing in your life, you're never going to move forward. Some effort into, you know, okay, so he made a music video. Yeah, put some effort into making your presence not his. In other words, yes, he made a music video. Yes, he made fun of fans who supposedly all of us live in a basement with. They're yelling at us in the background. And then proceeds to talk about how he got away with it, which he did, because that woman always changed her story every fucking fracking 3 weeks. And nothing really made. So the woman from Phoenix, the main center surfaced about how this song came about. I mean, he had to wait how many months before the case was dismissed? I mean, some people may dispute how Enzo Amore is relevant in a wrestling discussion, which I don't dispute you. It's just given the little pipsqueak credit because he's got so many follows right now. He's got, what, 37,000 likes on his Instagram for one or more photos, okay? So what you can say is I don't know how he came about this song. Actually, we do. Even if it's craptastic, I listened to it all the way through because I wanted to listen to what he had to say. The chorus repeats itself. It doesn't really, you know, the song really doesn't really give fucking any insight to how he feels about a certain somebody, except for the person who was accuser. He's not specifying, okay, this is the fan that I was attacking. This is the group of people I was attacking, because what's hilarious is he still has a couple hundred thousand of fans, which how many of you can say that? There's a point when you look at Enzo's career and you say, gee, I don't think he's going to make it outside of wrestling. I really don't think or feel that his career is going to be successful at all. He's going to go nowhere. Take a look, folks. The minute that he hopped back on Instagram, and I'm not, like I said, I am not in support of Enzo as much as I was the first time around in 2015, part of 2017 until I heard the man speak. He's a hard worker. You know, I actually did have a conversation with Rich Swann up at a Wrestling Revolver, and all I'm going to tell you is not the whole entire detail or divulge it entire detail, but Rich told me Enzo's a hard worker. Enzo goes to the PC. No, and I'm not talking referring about computers. I'm talking about Enzo would go to the performance center if he had to learn something or someone or study his opponent. As much as I despised him after the Corey Graves interview, that really doesn't give him a fair shake. I don't know him in person. I have met Enzo in person. That's a lie. Never had any issues with him except for the fact that when you tell somebody and you know the career is already in the books, done, they can't do a thing to come back because of their condition and Graves. It makes you wonder how can anyone sit there and support a dude who just obliterated Graves during the interview? I'm like I said, I was amazed at the amount of patience that Corey Graves had during said interview. He's, yeah, you're not a bad by any means. You're just a bad wrestler. You're just a horrible wrestler. To say that he compared himself to Ric Flair during the interview, not just that, and I'm not basing my entire biased hatred towards Enzo. I'm just basing my discord, my dislike of Enzo. Because if I say hate, you know, I'm no better than most of the fuckers who sit around saying Enzo can't work. Well, you motherfuckers can't say a damn thing because you never worked in the ring. So yeah, so what if he had no wrestling training? That's a big deal, because if you want to hear Simon Grimm's enthralling tales about Enzo Amore, just ask him about how thrilling it was to hear that Enzo had never been through a wrestling school or never trained in a wrestling school prior to WWE. The fact that he made a rap song, folks, to depict how he felt, there's no shame in that. I mean, I write music. Does it get on the board? Does it get in the studio? No, he actually fucking, because of the money he saved left over. You don't know this. Enzo saves money. He's great at saving money, okay? Do I know Enzo personally? Okay. Just because I go to an autograph session with him there, and just because I shake hands, it does not mean I know Enzo. But from what I've observed about him, I would not want to get to touch him with a 10-foot pole. Do you know why? Because here it is. When you buy a man T-shirts, you feel obligated to cheer him on, you know, if he's heel or babyface, doesn't matter. I like Denzel. She was very creative, very catchy at the time. Is it part of bandwagoning as a fan? You bet your ass it is. But as far as his song goes, as far as his consistency goes as wrestler, there's a lot of things that we can point out about one another. One, Enzo likes to steal a lot of stuff from a lot of people. Does it make him a bad person? In some people's eyes, they say, yes, it's highway robbery if he stole gimmick. It's highway robbery, you know, that he tried to do a baseball slide that he saw from talent in Japan, and his was it was terrible. The wind-up pitch, and he just does baseball slide. It was fucking horrible, dude. That's part of the reason why I don't think Enzo and Cass were ever tag team champions in NXT. But what's funny is the minute he gets to the cruiserweight division, he wins the title. Some people like him, some people don't. It just depends on who you're talking to. Because when I spoke with Swan, he said he and Enzo got along together on not a platonic level, but basically on all sorts of levels. So, like... It's perception is 9/10 of the law in professional wrestling. When it comes to Enzo Amore, you have to have a lot of fucking fracking patience. And the reason why I call names is because here's the thing. There are a few guys who live and breathe their gimmick because they've become so invested in giving the fans not only a show in the ring, but when they're out in public or out eating lunch, there goes, you know, them being their character. So, folks, I'm going to take a breather here for a minute with my rants about Enzo Amore, and I'm going to take some time out to say, if you haven't done so already, Danny Cage still has open available spots for Monster Factory. You can visit the website monsterfactory.org if you have a phone, which I know most of you do. If you don't have a smartphone, then that's okay. Go to monsterfactory.org or eventbrite.com for the latest Monster Factory Super Camp. Also, the youth camp, also coming up in June and July. Sign up if you want to become a professional wrestler. The rates are amazing. There's a down payment. If you have any questions, email the factory site at monsterfactory.org. If you would like to kick it or square in the ass, go to SusanGComan.org and its affiliated website. Go to Cure for Connor. Kick cancer square in the ass, ladies and gentlemen. Fight the good fight. Walk the marathons. Run the marathons. Do the ice bucket challenges. Do whatever you have to do to kick cancer square in the ass today. For those of you wishing to sign up for a network subscription to WWE, you can do so for $9.99. Your first month is free. After that is $9.99 with a $29.97 3-month preloaded card. That gets you 3 months. So if you get the preloaded card, you can get on the WWE shop. $6.99 shipping and handling for standards, $11.99 for 2 to 5 business days, and for next day shipping, it is $21.99. But you can also get the preloaded cards, folks, at your local Dollar Generals, GameStop, 7-Elevens, Best Buys, and Walmart. Again, you can go to WWE.com and sign up for the network. You can not only get WWE, you get Smoky Mountain Pro, ICW, Progress Wrestling, TNA, Impact Wrestling, CZW, PWG, Evolve, Ring of Honor, and so much more. All right, folks. We hit the point in the show where I'm going to tell you. Enter my mind, the inner workings of a lunatic, or inner workings of a sane person. Yeah, right. Just hit the music. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality. Life after wrestling. Let's touch on that, shall we? And as you know, folks, this is not just about me. This is about others that I've spoken with. There is life after pro wrestling. And the reason why I can tell you this is because, yeah, I got fired through Facebook close to 3 years ago around this time. And you know what? It ended up opening a whole other can of worms. And good, and it was both good and bad. But you know something, I can always live in the past or I can always move forward with my life. And one thing people neglect to understand about professional wrestling is do not, when I'm in a conversation with you and you don't know me, say the following: I know the business just as good as anyone, or I know how the inner workings of wrestling work. All of us have a general idea now because of social media, now because terms are available and spoken by the workers, but when you speak terms to us, like, you know, life after wrestling, I don't want to hear, you know, well, he's good when he was a heel, but I hate him as a baby face. Just enjoy the show as a fan. It's hard. It's hard in some regards because my friend, you know, who I speak with on the daily a lot, will say, I'd barely catch up with this or that, or I've gotten to the point where I can't go to a wrestling show as a fan anymore because it's part of the adrenaline as a worker to work the show. I guess it's different from a manager's perspective because when we jump out of the fray, meaning, you know, the life of going on the road, you know, making sure our wrestler gets a nice, good hotel, making sure the ring is safe, making sure the worker that's working with them is not a complete asshole. It's funny. I don't get roped. I volunteer to go because I love wrestling so much. So life after wrestling means, for me, is being a merch person, supporting my boy, Kurt Gannon, not just supporting, but making sure that, you know, he has the amenities that is needed. Amenities such as the ability to go on the road without worrying, the ability to make it to the venue on time, the ability to make sure that the merch is getting pushed off the table. Some may say that's a bitch boy's job. Let me explain something to you. Until you have stepped over the line or the boundaries and entered a wrestling school, until you have learned, you're never going to quit learning. Until you have done certain things, then do not say the following: you're just washed up. Oh, you're just doing, you know, life after wrestling must be really hard because you're not, you know, involved, if you will, with the business. Guys, let me tell you, wrestling is very unforgiving on the road. It can either be really satisfactory because you are the person, you are the individual, you are the one that decides whether something's satisfactory or not. But when you get out of wrestling, it's kind of a new world. And when people start saying shit like, oh, that fake shit, yeah, my son used to watch it, or, oh, yeah, staged shit, you get used to the insults parlay, but you know what? The focus is the hard thing. That word is hard to come by whenever you're out of pro wrestling and you still talk about it. You still parlay criticisms and constructive criticisms at that. To see stuff on Twitter, to see stuff on Facebook, it's kind of hard not to just sit there and be like, oh, yeah, okay, if I pay attention, you know, to what I'm saying, or maybe I look, I have no reprimand or repercussions about what I say, because here's what I stand by: my convictions that sometimes it's very difficult to watch a match and be like, yay, I really like this one. Sometimes that does happen. It depends on which kind of wrestling you watch, because it could be local indie, it could be Ring of Honor, it could be WWE. But the problem is, when you're out of wrestling and you volunteer yourself, you know what kind of shit goes through my head? Okay. I wonder if I would have stayed and not said a word. No. It's I wonder if I would have stayed and been a depressed motherfucker who probably would have been in a toxic environment and not been happy at all, because people I was around, there's probably one, maybe two, maybe three people that actually I got along with, and now I'm making waves to say, honestly, I moved on, so if you think every time I show up I'm going to start talking shit, the joke's on you. Okay, because that ship of me feeling irritated with you all has sailed. Okay, but if you dredge up the past, hell, I could do that all day long. How good and bad professional wrestling really has been. It's like a relationship. Good, bad, and different, you get what you put into it. So if you don't make effort on social media, if you don't make effort to promote, why are you in it? Same thing, you know, even if you're out of it, you still got to find ways to make you happy through your career path in wrestling, which is what I'm doing. So, folks, I've covered a bit what I've covered, you know, and I'm briefly going to touch on Money in the Bank. The seat capacity for Allstate Arena. Let's take a look at that, shall we, folks? We're going to pause 10 seconds for identification right here on Wrestle Radio Monday edition. Eighteen thousand five hundred capacity, and here we are in 2018, and well, I gotta say, if I look at StubHub, and I guarantee you, let me look up Money in the Bank, what they have left. This is going to shock you guys. Maybe not. Money in the bank. As I look on my computer. Oh, goodness. It's Sunday, Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. There's still full seats available. These seats, all the seats really, except for sections 5 and 10, 201 has sold out completely. Sections 104, 109, 110, 11, 112. The 100s, there's still seats available. And looking at a third-party vendor website, better known as StubHub.com, Ticketmaster will say the seats for NXT are completely sold out. My thoughts are, you know, how can a company that has that much, you know, pull, you know, WWE, I mean, granted, they're probably going to start selling like hotcakes, you know, in 2 weeks, right? I would hope they would, because I don't know what to tell you. It boggles my mind. How can seats, you know, 2 weeks before the event not be sold? And normally, you would say to yourself, oh, you know, it's WWE. They can outsell. Guys, I would normally discuss the matches, and I'm going to in a minute. The fact that two titles are being defended, the fact that The Universal title is not being defended is none of my business. I know you want me to cover my dislike and disdain for Brock Lesnar not defending his championship. That's not up to me. That's up to the booking team. So therefore, I'm going to tell you like this. If you have an event, you have a main event, you have some cool guys and gals that will per se be like, yeah, I'm going to do this at the show. I hate to say this, but actually, no, I don't. When some people refer to NXT as the AAA of WWE, the non-pro side of wrestling, it's like non-pro, they made it to the pros because, look, they made it past 100 people who try out for WWE singing their woulda, shoulda, couldas. Ticket sales on NXT side, there's only two sections left for both Money in the Bank and NXT as a package deal. And those tickets are selling for $133 plus tax on StubHub.com. If you haven't already done so, folks, get your tickets now. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Get them now, forever hold your peace. I think Chicago understands because Backlash, we all were witness to what Backlash was a prelude to, but really, in all honesty, a pay-per-view that was almost the equivalent thereof or close to WrestleMania's equivalent. You can't, as a fan, jump on board with somebody that just doesn't get it. That doesn't, you know, okay, so how are you supposed to... Carmella defends against Asuka. I don't, you know, I'm one of those that, okay, if the outcome is Carmella wins, okay, then I guess we're just supposed to shut up, grin, and bear it. If Shinsuke Nakamura defeats AJ, honestly, guys, I'm not so concerned about outcome. My concern is they have put these tickets on sale since March or April because it's always 90 days before the event with WWE. They're like, what are you so worried about? They'll sell tickets. I've been watching World Wrestling Entertainment before it was WWE with most of you. I remember back in the day when competition would be a thing for them, you know, like WCW or ECW. It would always drive ticket sales to be up because of the builds that were back in that day that were put in place, the story builds, and also the people that were involved with the company ever so much help in pushing that along. You know, people, they need a draw. Well, their draw is not there. Lesnar's not there. He is no, it doesn't matter. I don't care what people say about Roman. Some people ask, well, how are we supposed to feel about WWE? It's that's on your own volition, man. 18,500 seats. Of course, they're going to block or tarp over some seats, you know, in the back of the arena because there's no way you can see the ring unless you really want to strain your neck to watch the video board, which is stupid. The amount of tickets sold, I'm not for sure, but I look at other third-party sites. They're still selling them, folks. MetroSeats.com, TickPick, Eventbrite doesn't – I mean, you can check, but I don't think they would affiliate unless someone sold to the seller. And also, it'll be a decent Money in the Bank. I may be biased because I cheer for NXT or I – report Ring of Honor stuff to you guys some of the time. But my honest opinion is just watch it, and then afterwards you can say whether you like the show or not. To credit a fan is, you know, to each their own. Some may love it, some may hate it. Doesn't matter, I still love it, even if there's 4,000 people in the seats. I might be the most embarrassing set of sales because Ring of Honor has... You're not even affiliated with the event, dude. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They sold 10,000 seats in half an hour. It's now June 4th, and we're stuck looking at a screen that says 18,500 capacity, and you've only sold barely over a minimum amount of seats. Now, granted, they might be differently listed on the Ticketmaster sales, but what one website says, you have to compare and contrast and have factual facts to back up what you say. So, okay. I've got 13 minutes left, and in those 13 minutes, I'm going to cram all of what I've been discussing today. Number one, life after pro wrestling. Is it possible for people to exist outside of pro wrestling? Yes. An example of that is the little runt that you see making rap videos and rap songs because he said he was going to make a rap career, and by golly, he did it, damn it. So whatever people decide to do is based off of their own volition. Like if I wanted to open up a comic book store, if I wanted to basically make a name for myself, that's easy. Or is it? I ended up taking over a podcast. I didn't know that was going to be my path in wrestling, man. I thought I was going to be managing the next champion. But I found something that fits how I look at the pro wrestling business, because wrestling is like a marriage. Down, it's all around. It does involve children, because you are on the road and you have kids, and you got to look at them and make sure that they're not, you know, not going psychotic. Enzo basically has a rap career, folks. He found a way to channel his anger. He could have gone on a violent killing spree, but the motherfucker did not. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Money in the Bank. Flying fuck. What a cluster. We don't know yet. We, as wrestling fans, do not know if Money in the Bank is going to disappoint, going to be awesome, going to be off the hook, going to be really... You don't know. So I, as a wrestling fan, always say this. Give it the benefit of the doubt. Because if you don't, then I don't know what else to tell you. Because wrestling fans now, there's no... Just because they take the pyro away is not the reason why I'm upset, my friend. The reason why I'm upset is because it's just... There's so many people that jump to conclusions, like, oh yeah, Asuka and Shinsuke for sure are going to win at WrestleMania. That's what we all thought. What I'm getting at is, right after wrestling, hearing this shit is like sticking your hand in a bowl full of eels. Sometimes people say really cool shit, and then other times you have the elitist who stand outside at a Revolver show, not all of them, some of them, that try and talk as if they were a fucking promoter. So life after hearing that, not everyone talks like that, but you just adjust your ears, close them like a cat's, and say to yourself, okay, just don't say a word unless spoken to. And then I got roped into a conversation outside of there. And I said, that's not necessarily how booking works all the time. And if you don't know the names of the actual writers or the actual creators, research. It may be the most Mark-esque thing to say, but the next person who talks like an elitist in front of me. You know what's easy? Just put on your headphones. Unfortunately, I didn't have mine with me. So I just, and this was outside of Wrestling Revolver in Clive, Iowa, at a ballroom, which was a hell of a lot of fun, by the way. The next time I just hear those conversations, I'm just going to walk away. I hate hearing it. Because if you're trying to do that as a worker, that's even worse. What I mean by elitist conversations is the fact that you guys think your shit doesn't stink. And the fact that on social media you have your worshipers, which is, you know, they're called fans. So, yeah, that's not a problem. That what I have an issue with is I am this, so therefore you shall just drop everything for me and me only and listen to what I have to say, because my word is word, and whatever you say in response is just going to be garbage that I won't pay attention, listen to. I'm just going to laugh at. What does this have anything to do with professional wrestling or life after pro wrestling, Enzo Amore and Money in the Bank? I can get it tied in some crazy shape, form, or way, so just give me a minute. Whenever we as fans watch a wrestling show, we say to ourselves, man, I like this show, I dislike this show. Whenever a former worker watches a show, your mind instantly goes to, okay, I like this part of the match. His shine was kind of weak. His heat was good. The false hopes were there. Okay, told a story. Cool. They grab the attention of the fans. That's all of my concern. As a former worker, as a current fan who watches the show. If they don't tell a story, if the fans don't elicit any reaction, then that's where I draw the line and just like, okay, well, move on to the next match. Enzo Amore, life after wrestling. Yeah, it's been pretty good for him because the instant he, you know, got away from whatever he was that was toxic in his life, which was the case that accused him of supposedly, allegedly molesting the person, even though it was consensual, he made a life for himself and he's doing just fine. You know, he knows how to invest his money, whether you love him or hate him, which most of us can't stand the little pipsqueak, but or the little run, or there's a lot of names I could call Enzo and be immature about it, but I'm going to say this. From a professional standpoint, as a former worker himself, he could get work anywhere, he just doesn't want to. He's doing things his way, whether you love him or hate him, and you got to show whatever you want to show him, love or hate, you can hate him. I don't give a fuck. But he's doing what he wants to do, and I have respect for that. As far as Money in the Bank goes, much like any pay-per-view, I think NXT should have a takeover for every sub-pay-per-view. Yeah, it may work them a lot more than expected. Their bodies may be brutalized and sacrificed. But to be honest with you, if you want to drive ticket sales, if you want to be in the driver's seat ticket sales-wise, just go through NXT. Because look at the talent that they bring in. Look at the aggressive wrestling matches they have, you know, Lars Sullivan and Aleister Black. Not just those two. Fact that they have women to showcase Dakota Kai, Bianca Belair, Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane, Vanessa Bourne, Lacey Evans. I mean, the list goes on and on for NXT. The thing is, guys, my thoughts on Money in the Bank are going to be, okay, I'll go into this with an open mind. I'll watch the whole pay-per-view. So I'm going to be there live. I've got myself a hotel. I'm going with a friend of mine. I'm not going it alone. Because driving to Chicago, fudge that mess, okay? Illinois has terrible reception in some parts for AT&T's. You know, then I don't know if they have any towers in Illinois. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is, points. Life after wrestling. is difficult at times, but it's also refreshing because then you don't have to worry about where am I going, where there's the next booking, which hotel am I going to be sleeping out of, which motel am I going to be saving money with. Some parts of it you think in your head like that, and then other parts you miss because I miss hearing people cheer, I miss hearing people laugh. I mean, there's just tons of ideas or tons of thoughts that pop through your head as soon as you exit. Some people say, I could never imagine life without pro wrestling. It's such a family. It's such a camaraderie. Again, that all depends on what you got out of wrestling, what you put into it. It's like what Uncle Bob said. You can bitch, moan, gripe, complain about your past. You can bitch, moan, gripe, and complain about everything that everyone did wrong. You can point fingers, but if you don't, for starters, start looking at what you can do to improve, how you can serve the business, even if you're out of it, you can still be a servant, be a good servant, you know, promote it, love it, talk about it, talk about what you liked, talk about what you didn't like. Part about what life after wrestling has been for me. Granted, yes, I did have a falling out with KCXW. And there's a lot of parties involved that think I'm still controversial. I don't give a fuck. I'm doing me and you're doing you and your company's doing good. And, you know, there's life outside of pro wrestling, my friends. Some people will say that's kind of, you immerse yourself in it enough, it can either drive you crazy or it can actually, well, just make you crazy in general if you don't know how to handle it. It's like when Jack Nicholson was trying to be the Joker in 1989, said it'll drive you to, you know, it'll drive you crazy to a T. Just, you know, trying to get yourself in character. Wrestling is not for everyone. But that doesn't mean you still can't support it, you can't be a part of it, and all that good jazz. As a fan, you know, as a merchandiser, whatever it is. And in closing, folks, since I have the 90-second warning, Enzo's new song, I don't know, it's up for interpretation. Money in the Bank, that's up for interpretation. Join us tomorrow on Wrestle Radio, Tuesday edition, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Yeah, I got to go eat and get ready for work. So, toodles, bitches.